Morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen, and to your listeners on what is a fine day in Perth.
Give us a story about David Mundy that we haven't heard this week. I reckon we've heard most of them. What are your immediate thoughts when you think of your player who's about to bring up his 300th tonight?
Oh, look, he's been a terrific player for us for a very long time, and at this stage looks like it could be for a fair bit longer. But he's been a great leader, not just our players, but also our club, and has really grown off the field. A great father, family man, and studies very hard and has studied marine science and is destined for a career in that post-football. But as I said, indicated before, happy for that to be a few years away just yet.
I couldn't believe it, and I mean this with no disrespect, but as a footballer who's obviously trying to do a full-time job, actually picked up an academic award from the university. He was doing so well in his studies with marine biology. How important is the Len Hall game for the Fremantle Football Club, Steve?
Super important, Clint. It's 24th annual Len Hall game, and an honour to commemorate the Anzac spirit and Len Hall, who only up until a few years ago was the oldest surviving Gallipoli veteran. And we're really looking forward to tonight and recognising not just all Anzacs, but in particular nurses that have contributed so significantly to conflicts around the world for our armed forces. And so it'll be very special, and 50 buglers, as I understand it, our team has put together to perform tonight. So it'll be certainly a last post with a difference, and encouraging as many people as possible to not only get to the game, but to get to the game early to see that service, which commences at around about 5:30 p.m.
Let's talk a little bit about yourself, Steve. You've been at Fremantle through, well, some turbulent times and some very successful times. You've overseen the installation of your current coach. You've seen the Dockers change their logo, change their jumper. Huge success on a commercial side of things, which you've been heavily involved in as well. What is your future at the Fremantle Dockers?
Well, very much focused on doing what I'm doing, which is working with a great team of people across our football operations and administration team to continue to grow and drive our football club. And we're in the process, in fact, next week we'll be signing off on a revision of our strategic plan, which currently goes through to 2020. And we've looked at that very closely over the last few months to look at all of our key aspects of our operation and ensure that we're really well placed to perform as well as we can, both on and off the field. So really driving that and working with a great team of people.
So will you be there to see that plan all the way through? What's your contract status there?
Well, as far as I stand here today, absolutely. That's certainly the focus. I think we're starting to see some growth in our football team in terms of the Ws from the work that's been put in place over the last few years in rebuilding the list. In fact, it's just interesting to see last weekend that terrific win against GWS. Only six of the players that took the field, six of the 22, were there at the club in 2015. So it's been a big transformation, a lot of work gone into that by a lot of people. So I think we need to continue with that. And this new Optus Stadium gives us a great opportunity to grow off the field as well. And it's hard to believe that we're averaging crowds now greater than the capacity of Domain Stadium, such as the opportunity at Optus, and no doubt somewhere between 42 and 45,000 there today.
So when you look at your long-term future planning, which you're discussing about, finishes in 2020, or that's where it's likely to take you through. Ross Lyon's contract's up then. Do you see him as being a major part of the club going forward as well? Where are the discussions at along things like that?
Well, that's something we don't have to talk about at this point in time, because clearly Ross has a contract through to 2020, as do some other key people. So it's about what we're putting in place around those people to drive our performance and ensuring everyone at our club is growing and improving. A continual focus, and it has to be, because it's such an incredibly tough competition that is very unforgiving. So that work is determined and constant.
Going back to what you were talking about with David Mundy, I spoke to his manager yesterday, And it sounds like next season will be a formality as long as his body holds up. But he brought up Sean Burgoyne as a sort of player that Dave could emulate. And obviously Sean's still going strong as a 36-year-old at Hawthorn. Do you see Dave, given his durability, lasting perhaps beyond next year?
Well, I think David's one of those players that is a meticulous preparer and, you know, looks after himself incredibly well off the field. So that gives him a great opportunity to do that. And if you talk to Sally Mundy, his gorgeous wife, I think she wants to keep playing for another 5 years. So, look, there's every chance that'll take place. No doubt that our team will sit down with Anthony McConville, David's manager, at the right time during this year to investigate that. At the moment, David's well and truly focused on not just this weekend, but getting the best out of himself and his team over the course of this season.
One of the other veterans down at the club, Aaron Sanderlands, this is a bit of a two-part question, Steve. How is Aaron going with his calf issues? Obviously had a couple of setbacks at 36 and he's struggling to get out there at the moment. The other element to the question is about the mid-season draft, which is after round 10. At the moment, you don't have a spot on your list, but in an ideal world, if you could open up a spot, is that something you would look to do?
Well, to answer that part of your question first, Travis, look, the team are doing the work at the moment to look at that possibility. So, you know, we want to be prepared if that was to eventuate. And so the work is being done. And with respect to Aaron specifically, that's certainly not in our thinking. He deserves the right and the opportunity to get back to playing football this year. He's certainly leaving no stone unturned to do that. I had lunch with him a few weeks ago and he saw it as, you know, in the last few years he's only been able to play the start of the season and not quite finish towards the end of the season. So he's looking in reverse this year, perhaps an opportunity to perform in the AFL towards the back end of the year. So and let's hope that is the case.
Steve Rossich is our special guest on Sports Talk, the chief executive of the Fremantle Dockers. We're heading up towards 7 minutes to 11 o'clock. Steve, in terms of the mid-season draft, if you do decide to go down the path of freeing up a spot and bringing someone in, would you only be looking at West Australian players or would you cast your eye right across the nation?
Look, you know, when you're looking in the rookie draft or in these types of slots, you've probably got a natural inclination to focus on the players that are closer to home. But the right answer to your question, Clint, is no, you look nationally. It's a national competition. Young men and young women around the country are clearly prepared to move interstate to give themselves the best professional opportunity. So you're negligent if you don't look at the total resource and database of players. So that's clearly what our team are doing.
And if you bring in a player from another WA club, would they would be expected to play for Peel Thunder, I would imagine?
That's right. Look, wherever you, if that was to eventuate, we did take a player in the mid-season draft, you want to give that player the best opportunity to progress in their career in the AFL. And that is clearly to play with the coaches and players that they're now on an AFL list with. So it would be, in our case, with Peel Thunder.
We've heard a lot from West Coast over the last week or so in terms of their concerns about the Perth Stadium surface. Has that been discussed at Fremantle?
Sure, we're in constant contact with Perth Stadium and the operator of Perth Stadium to make sure the surface is in the best possible condition for AFL games. There's no doubt that there are some patches of the stadium that are a little harder than you would like, and they're working really hard to ensure that's improved. At this stage, we haven't moved our training session, which we only train there once every 2 weeks. So cumulative load at the stadium is not too significant for us. The other times we're training out at our facility in Coburn. So at this stage, we don't see that changing with the work they're doing. Also don't see that changing for the rest of the year, but we'll continue to monitor it.
West Coast have had a lot of foot issues, Steve, but Fremantle have had more soft tissue dramas. Has there been any link with the club's medical staff, with the stadium, about those soft tissues?
Well, we certainly understand, you know, West Coast sensitivity to the foot issues they've had this year. We had some last year with Brad Hill in a collision injury on the turf and Matt Tabanar with his foot. So it's something that we're conscious of. With all injuries, Travis, I'm sure you know this, that you know, there's there's a lot of work that goes into analysing each and every one that occurs to make sure there's not a pattern, to make sure there's nothing that we shouldn't be changing to ensure that we can prevent these injuries in the future. We play a game where injuries are part of the game, but clearly a measure of future performance is your ability to manage injuries. So it is an acute focus. And at the moment, we seem to have a few players ready to come back into the team. So long may that continue. But we know it's a tough game, our sport. So our sports science team work incredibly hard to not only get players up week to week, but players back into AFL fitness and form once they've been injured. And hopefully Connor Blakely can take that leap this weekend playing with Peel and get back into the AFL team relatively soon.
Had a couple of text messages over the last few weeks. In terms of with Fremantle now being based at Cockburn, is it more difficult for the club to maintain a Fremantle identity because you're no longer based within the city?
Look, the first part of that answer to that question is no, it isn't an issue. We had an open training session during the week, incredibly well attended. In fact, larger attendance than we would normally get historically at Fremantle Oval out at Cockburn because of our position. It's much easier to get to, a lot more populous around our immediate facility, great public transport and parking, etc. So it's been terrific for us, a great facility, as I'm sure you'll agree, and we couldn't wish for anything better, to be honest. We do take our AFLW games to Fremantle Oval, and we've struck an agreement with the city to continue to do that, and that's been terrific. We had over 26,000 people go to those four games this year, which is fantastic, and that will continue. But we're also exploring other opportunities. How else can we continue to have a physical presence, not just an historical and real tie to Fremantle? So that's something we'll continue to investigate, and hopefully something will come to fruition. We've looked at a few things, and nothing quite has transpired yet. So watch this space.
Steve, good luck with that, and good luck tonight. It's always a great night out. Hopefully the Dockers supporters and football supporters roll up in big numbers for the Len Hall tribute match. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. It should be a great night, a game under lights, which everyone enjoys at Optus. So encourage as many people to get along to for that commemoration, that Len Hall game commemoration, and for David Mundy's 300th.